Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were fortunate to spend some time in the company of Ben Stokes, the England Test captain.
Yes, he was in good form.
He was. He even talked a bit of football, as you'll discover. We spoke to Rose German from the animal care team at Scarborough Sea Life Centre. Not an obvious guess for Talk Sport, but they've named one of the lionesses. They've not named one of the lionesses. They've named,
that's what I did.
It's easy done. Yeah, not a sea lion.
I couldn't work
this
it out.
This is an aquatic lion. They've named one of the octopuses after one of the lionesses. I know it. Sorry. And Giles Regan joined us, comedian and Liverpool fan.
He's still got his own name.
He definitely has. Yeah. So we had a bit of a chat. Andy railed against stuff. Andy couldn't remember someone's name who he knows quite well. And that's basically it. Here it all is. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Let's start with, it's like a non-sport story. Non-stort story.
Talk stort.
Talk stort.
Yes.
Because I know you love Lauren Hardy. They're your comedy idols.
Love them, yeah.
Not me, but them, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, you know. The day you're as funny as they are.
That's never going
to
happen.
You'll be my idol.
Of course. Yeah. But you may have seen this story that a pair of life-size Lauren Hardy statues have been found by cops a year after they were stolen. They're 6-foot fiberglass Stan and Ollie models. But what got me was that the woman who owned them said, "We're overwhelmed to have them back. When I got a call from a PC to say she was standing with them, and asked me for a description."
What are you talking about? Well, there's a fat one with a moustache, and there's a thin one without a moustache. They've got old suits on and bowler hats. The trouble is, to get it back to the lady's house, she lives at the top of this massive flight of stairs.
Oh, yeah.
So they put them in a crate, and the two guys had to deliver them. I mean, I don't know if anybody filmed it, but it was absolutely
brilliant.
Could win an Oscar.
It was excellent.
Really good.
And bad news for Everton fans, Calvert-Lewin is injured. He got injured in training, and Rondon is suspended. So when they play Chelsea on Saturday, neither side have got any strikers.
Yeah, it's two false nines. It'd be very exciting, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Marvellous.
Timo Werner looks like he's going back to Leipzig. Certainly, if you're prepared to drive him back to the airport, aren't you?
That's the plan.
You're definitely prepared to do that.
I'd rather see him go back to Germany. I don't really want to go to another English team and be... You don't want to
score lots of goals.
Case he's successful.
Yeah, that's true.
Seems unlikely though, doesn't it? And now Barcelona are tapping up Bernardo Silva. Honestly, it's ridiculous. They'd have to sell the TV rights for the 2085 season.
Yeah.
And UEFA going to do anything about this? They're just going to let them do this. It's so poor.
It is feeling a little bit springtime for Hitler, all of this.
It's ridiculous.
What they're doing.
Somebody published a list of the wages. I mean, every player's on like 250,000 plus practically. What? How can they sustain this? It's not possible.
Well, they're finding a way. Every time we say, how are they doing this, someone comes out with a very long piece online explaining how they're doing it.
Well, we know how they're doing it. You know, they're selling the family silver. That's how they're doing it.
They're mortgaging the future,
aren't
they?
That's exactly what they're doing.
Totally doing that. But West Ham, a couple of new players could be coming in. Cornet could be done today. You did very well at Burnley. I've been surprised that not more clubs have been willing to take him
on. And he's versatile, and he's got goals in him. I'm surprised. Yeah, he's a good fit for West Ham.
Amadou Onana as well from Lille. He's a big unit, as I say. 6'5".
He's very moist, isn't he?
Six foot five midfielder.
But the thing is, you know, they obviously think that, I think Declan Rice will go at the end of the season, unless West Ham have an absolutely brilliant season and end up in the top four and are in the Champions League. I would imagine that he would leave next summer, but we'll see. Maybe he'll stay there forever. Who knows?
He's 20 years old and £33 million plus add-ons is the deal, they're saying. They hope it gets done. I was reading the other day that there were some concerns over getting it done because of the size of Onana's entourage. I didn't know. It's great that Amadou and Anna's got a massive entourage.
Well, it's very nice. They all have.
Yeah, they? They've all. I think they all have. Really, yeah. Everybody.
I've got an entourage now.
Have you got? Have you got an entourage?
Yeah.
Who are they?
My wife. Oh, <That's it. laughs> I don't have an entourage. But, I mean, it'd be quite nice.
Would you like to be in an entourage?
No, I'd rather have an entourage.
They made a sitcom, for example, about being in an entourage. I wonder what they'd call it.
Yeah, but, I can't imagine.
TalkSport listener, have you ever had an entourage or been in an entourage?
I've had road rage.
I'm sure you have. So let us know. We're guessing the answer's no. We're not expecting this one to fly. But anyway, what constitutes it? How many people constitute an entourage? If you go with one person, it's just your mate. You go with two.
It's got to be about five.
Is two people an entourage?
No, five.
Okay.
There's no rules there.
It really depends on the amount of seats on the private plane, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's normally a member of the family. It's normally at least one member of the family, like a brother. There's normally a brother there who's hurriedly done a business studies course because he realised he's going to be the agent of a multimillionaire. And then they'll just be mates. Won't
The mates.
Then there'll be the agent and then the assistant agent.
You don't want that, really.
The agent's agent's
not
agent.
Ideal.
All sitting there grinning on a private plane. That's your entourage. We kind of throw a wild card in. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Just some odd character. Possibly someone you don't know but looks good, or someone who just looks interesting. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Mick Harford's mate who comes to look to the bumpers.
That's Mick's entourage, that's right.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm fascinated by the Rebecca Vardy thing. She's all over all the media outlets today. She should be a case study in for media students on how to maximise a story.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. All this stuff leading up to it. Then afterwards, and now then, following the verdict, we've got this, and it's, I do, I would say I feel for her, but I don't really. I mean, it's just, she says she feels let down by the legal system. You think, why don't you just blame everyone else? You know, do you know what I mean? It's fantastic. There's a lot of that going on, really. Yep. So, you know, I can't imagine Jamie's too happy about all this. Can't be great publicity. Right. And, you know, she said she didn't have a choice. And you think, well, she did, didn't she? She didn't have a choice. She could have just basically settled it.
She thought she'd been besmirched and she had to clear her name, but it didn't particularly work out that way.
No,
a couple of things to get going on today. Aaron Ramsdale in the paper today, All or Nothing has come out, and a lot of the Arsenal boys have been chatting. And he's talking about his dad. And he said, my dad still watches me, of course. He said he tells me week in, week out to stop passing it into midfield. I'm going to give him a heart attack. I just say, well, you're going to have to speak to Mikel about that. And as he has the manager's number from when I signed, he says, OK, I will.
Oh, no, don't do that.
So then I have to stop him from going ahead and doing it, says Aaron Ramsdale. But sometimes your parents do get involved, don't they?
That's
not
right.
Just in the world of sport. Don't, Dad. Don't get involved, Dad. Don't get involved, Mum. We'd like some of those don't get involved dad or mum stories. Maybe you're the dad or mum in question. With hindsight, you shouldn't have done it. What did you get involved in? Or indeed, what about your folks getting involved back in the day? And of course, talking of All or Nothing, the clip of the guys playing in You'll Never Walk Alone for an Arsenal training session ahead of the Liverpool game has had a lot of traction. To be fair to Mikel Arteta, if you watch the whole clip, he says, goes up one of the other coaches and says, I've had one of my mad ideas.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's not kind of, you know, he admits it's a bit out there, left field.
He did well last season. He could so easily, they could have got rid of him. They made a terrible start. They didn't have a brilliant finish either, you know, but all in all, I think they finished well above where people thought they would.
Well, let's have a mad managerial idea that you inflicted on your team or indeed was inflicted on you, whether it's in business, sport, whatever. It doesn't have to be football, could be anything. Let's have the mad managerial ideas that your gaffer came up with. Plus, as we said, don't get involved, Mum or Dad. TalkSport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 and you can tweet to TSH&J.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Gongs being handed out to the players. We've had Lucy Bronze's Domino's Pizza, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, it's called Lucy's there. Yeah.
That's right. And now we've got an octopus called Beth Mead.
Oh, somehow I think it should have been the keeper, though.
Well,
being an octopus.
Mary Ups, yeah, you would have thought so, wouldn't you? Well, let's find out. Let's go ahead to Scarborough Sea Life Centre, where they've named the octopus Beth Mead. And from the animal care team, must have been difficult for at the weekend, Rose German joins us.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Rose. I'm sure that's not the first time you've heard that.
No, it's not
the. So there we are. We were thinking it might have been the goalkeeper as an octopus after the brilliant tournament she had, but why Beth Mead?
She is a local us. We're all so proud of her. She lives down the road. We have lots of naming themes for animals. Our penguins are named after cartoons. But we were struggling to think of a name for our new octopus. And then Beth Mead, you know, football, it's come home. How could we not?
Yeah. Is it a female octopus?
Yes, it is. Yeah, okay. Female.
I don't know how you can tell.
And she's football mad as well.
How can you be
one of their appendages.
Yeah, that's it. That's often the way.
That'll be the reason. Then.
Yeah.
Like, again, how can you tell?
So, is Beth aware of this honour? Are you hoping she'll pop down to the Sea Life Centre when she's got 5 minutes and say hello to...
Oh, it'd be awesome. We're all so excited if she does. It'd be great. But for the minute, our octopus is loving it. She's got a little trophy. You know, she's celebrating, you know, the lioness's win.
I've seen the picture. She's holding a... in one of, she's holding a George Cross, isn't she, as well?
Yeah. She's got as many as she likes.
She's
got like a little mini World Cup Euros trophy, almost.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, in one of them, yeah. She won't give it up.
How old is Beth Mead the octopus?
Oh, she's about year old, year and a half, possibly.
Okay.
How long do they
live? You could put her in an England shirt. You need 8 pairs.
It would be quite would be quite difficult to put an England shirt on. That's right, just the body.
We would need some modification there. She's had a flag.
How long do they live for, octopi?
It depends on the species. It can be about 3 years, up to 5 with some of the larger species.
Oh, so she'll be all right for the World Cup next year.
She's not going to miss that one.
That's good. Yeah, so we got a bit of time.
Have you got any other animals or sports? I'm going to put this the right way. Sports stars, animals named after sports stars. I couldn't get that right.
Not at the moment, but it might become a theme if we start winning more more trophies and matches. Yeah.
And normally, animals that are named after sports people have to predict results. So was that going on with when did she officially become Beth Mead the octopus?
We're holding it, glory hunting octopus.
We've tried
with predictions before and it's not worked out, so she's a football fanatic. They're such intelligent creatures, so we put loads of toys in the tanks. One of them was a football, and she just would not give it up. She's had it down in the tank playing around with it. She's got good skills, so yeah. Just
that's good, isn't it?
Won't give the ball up.
I never knew that. My son
being greedy. It's a team game. Yeah, nobody's told Beth Mead.
Who knew?
Yeah, that's right.
She has a play with the keepers and that, when we'll go in and we'll have, you know, one aside matches.
It's a great little promo, sort of thing, isn't it? Because normally when you get a predictive animal, you know, and they get, you know, sea lions or octopuses predicting scores, it is good for places like yours. So here we are chatting about it on national radio. Maybe people didn't know the Scarborough Sea Life Centre existed. They should have done, but if they didn't, they certainly do now.
They definitely do now, yeah.
That's good. And presumably this time of year is your busiest time, isn't it?
Yeah, summer holidays were packed, especially on a rainy, rainy day.
We've had too many of those. Actually, a few more in the north. But
What are the delights then? Tell us more about the Scarborough. What else can we come and see?
We've got loads and loads of things. We've got our 4 resident seals, but we also have rescue seal pups in that we look after. We've got 24 Humboldt penguins.
Oh, nice.
We've got a couple of otters, lots of fish, sharks, rays, all sorts of delights, reptiles as well. Lots of things to see.
Running with a blue shark down in the West Country. Very rare, that though, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very, very rare.
I know the woman it happened to, she was so sympathetic to the animal.
Yeah. It's true. We're in their environment, and it's just an unfortunate event, and it is, like you say, really rare occurrence.
I don't think I'd have been that generous.
Yeah,
I'm horrible. But
you're not going to go back out with Quint in the boat, are you? That wouldn't have been fair.
Need a bigger boat.
That wouldn't have been fair.
I think a penguin called Serena Wiegmann, it's got to be on the cards, isn't it?
A penguin?
Possibly.
Penguin, yeah.
Possibly. We normally go for cartoons and that with our penguins. So we've had custard, rhubarb, some of the octonauts for the little children's, all sorts of things with those guys. Penelope Pitstop.
Oh, okay. Well,
That
has to be explained to the young kids. Yeah. Penelope Pitstop.
Fair enough.
Well, look, we do hope Beth is listening today, or her people. I'm taking, she's got people now. So, and maybe they can come along, they can organise a trip for Beth definitely. To meet her
she's
octopus.
She's currently got a football in there. She won't give up that trophy. She's taken that home for sure. It's in a little home. She won't give it up. We've had the grabbers in trying to pull it away. Nope. Football's in there. That's the flag good. She keeps having a go with.
That's yeah, amazing.
She's waving it about.
You've got four different types of jellyfish, I see, which is nice.
Yes.
I was reading this week.
People make bread on site as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. People are making crisps out of jellyfish now.
Oh, that's...
Yeah,
there's no need for that,
I've
Andy.
Never had.
No, really? They're making crisps out of jellyfish.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, well, I can't really see Rose being particularly sympathetic to
no,
that.
No, obviously
you know,
not. Just,
not that we haven't read into that one. No.
I mean, how do you make crisps out of a jellyfish, Andy? Did you read any more of the story?
Slices, I think, but I've no idea.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll do
apologize. I'd imagine they're deep fried, would be my guess.
I hope they can't hear us. You're nowhere near the jellyfish tank, are you?
No, stayed away from them. They're all right.
Yeah, that's good. Be, good to hear.
Well, covering in the tank if they did.
Lovely to talk to you, Rose. Thanks very much for joining us.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Rose Dewan there from the animal care team at the Scarborough Sea Life Centre, where Beth Mead awaits the visit of Beth Mead.
Oh, yeah.
So they can shake hands. Six times, because technically two are legs, I understand, on the octopus. Two legs on an octopus. Six arms.
Yeah, good photo there, wouldn't it?
It would be great, wouldn't it? Just have to get some of the other players, draft other players in. Her entourage can do it, which brings us back to where this hour kicked off, Beth's entourage. They've all got to have an entourage.
Of course they have, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, Jive Reagan, we spoke to on the show before, about his excellent podcast, An Irishman Abroad, where he speaks to many sort of expat Irish people. Tell their stories. It's fascinating. It's been very, very popular over the years, very successful. Mm. The problem is, Giles moved back to Ireland last week.
We call it Irishman at home.
Well, that's the easy way out. Let's find out. He's a big Liverpool fan. We'll talk Liverpool in a moment. But, Giles, good afternoon.
How are you doing, boys?
Good. I'm sure when you thought about going home, you probably thought, okay, am I going to square this particular circle?
Well, I guess it is a big part of the Irish journey abroad is coming home, or talking about coming home. That's what most Irish people do, is talk about going back to the old country eventually, and then they never actually do it. But there is an exodus of people back to their countries, as you've seen over the last 6 months to 12 months. And I guess I'm part of that wave, even though, lads, and you're not going to believe this, I always planned on leaving at this time so that my son could go to secondary school in Ireland. And the plan was to set up things in such a way that I commute back and forth from Dublin like my old friend Craig Doyle does. And he assured me it's all good to be less of an Irish man abroad, and you can enjoy life over there and here.
So the podcast continues.
It will indeed. And, you know, the spin-off of The Irishman Running Abroad with Sonia O'Sullivan and The Irishman in America means that I'll always be talking to people abroad, the Irish abroad. But I think that we're now going to probably reduce some of our output because I won't be abroad as much. But it gives us a chance to zero in on a couple of really big guests that I've been kind of chasing for the last 9 years. It was our ninth birthday yesterday of the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, over 600 plus episodes across 9 years, not missed a week in that time. But yeah, so there's a couple on the list that I've wanted for a long time, including Daniel Day-Lewis, Martin O'Neill, Roy Keane. Who else? I mean, the list is so long that we've done that we've definitely whittled it down now to who's left.
Right. And and you're getting closer to those, are you? Yep.
Yes. I mean, it has helped that, you know, you've had people like Bob Geldof and Gabriel Byrne and Terry Wogan, God rest him, on, that it made it a bit easier to get bigger names. But really, you've got it's a flooded market now. It's like every man and his dog has a podcast now. When we started out, I remember ringing people like Paul McGrath and them going, I've never done a podcast before. And I mean, the concept is, it's just taken off, hasn't it? I mean, it seems like every footballer, everyone who's anyone has one now. So
yeah, and the papers love taking stories from them. They'll take a quote out of it and make it into a story, which helps the podcast, really.
It does. It does. I mean, definitely the rules on that have changed over the years. I think they kind of thought it was free content for them to pilfer from, but now aggregation is a whole thing, and I'm happy when they do it. I'm like, just as long as you link the podcast, I'm happy enough. Mm-hmm.
For the first time, I'm ashamed to say, really, because I'd beyond Dublin on quite a few occasions, I'd never really been anywhere else in Ireland until recently. I was over in Mayo a couple of weeks ago and absolutely loved it. Definitely going to be back in Westport, Clew Bay and Kirkpatrick and Galway. Yeah. It was fantastic, and I can understand the appeal of heading home.
Well, I'm in the process of rediscovering it because the place has changed in that 10 years that I've been away. And the West is really, if people haven't gone, that's one to check out. Mm. Just go down that Greenway in the West and what they've done for the country in terms of welcoming people in. Because previously it was a bit like, definitely 20 years ago, it was hard enough to find the right places to go, to know where to eat. But it's as a tourist destination right now, it's never been a better time. So I'm definitely in the tourist gaggle right now. I'm going to be going around the country for the next month, hooking up with Sonia O'Sullivan and doing the most scenic runs that Ireland has to offer.
Oh, sounds lovely. We had a boss at one time who basically worked here Monday to Friday and then commuted. He went and spent his weekends in Ireland. And it always struck me that this was kind of the best of both worlds, really, and lived in a beautiful place. And it is a beautiful place. So it's understandable why you've gone back, I think.
Yeah, I have to say I am a little bit anxious about the commute when you see the price of Ryanair flights. They aren't as cheap as they used to be. When I went to, I've got to nip back for a gig at the Top Secret Comedy Club on August 16th. And I was like, I remember these flights being a tenner. But I guess it's the price of petrol and all the rest of it.
That's true. Yeah. Got to watch your carbon footprint these days.
That's very true. So, Liverpool, a decent start at the weekend. Oh, you must have been chuffed with that. I mean, look, OK, it's a friendly, let's be honest. I know Jose doesn't say that, but it is really. But still, it's better to win them than not.
But boys, don't you think if there's one thing we've learned in the last 3 years, that the margin for error is so fine now in the Premiership that a bad start can end your season. Mm. So I know that it was only a friendly. I get all of that. But if you were on the other side of it, you'd be going, I'm very anxious. Whereas now we're starting on the front foot. And just to get those first wins under the belt just becomes like winning's a habit. He got them into that habit. I'd be very positive about it, but I just find the Premier League so stressful now because if you get on a bad run, it can be curtains for you within a month. Within a month.
It's true. This year there's 5 games before the first international break as opposed to normally 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And your season could be over. And that's 5 games before the transfer window closes. You might be buying on the last day and it'll be too late.
Yeah. I mean, that and just like you've got a lot of players who can go either way. I don't know if you feel this, that for me, Salah, he's kind of at that tipping point, is he not? Where we'll either see him over the hill or at his peak. It's one or the other now. It's like he's probably got 2 great seasons potentially in him. But then I do think we see this with strikers a lot, that then once you're off the boil, it is like a light switch going off. There'll be moments, but it won't be that level of consistency all the time. Do you think I'm going out on a limb when I say
that? I mean, based on the weekend.
You want to hope he doesn't.
Based on the weekend, I don't think
he looked all right.
Yeah. He looked sharp at the weekend, I thought.
Mm. Well, I've witnessed it a couple of times over the years where I felt that way about Roy Keane when he was at United, that there was a time when it wasn't as consistent as it was. And that's kind of where the brow of the hill is. But I think Jurgen's done such an amazing job of bolstering the squad, getting players like on the bench who are ready to blossom, that I don't have a whole load of fear around it. But you know what it is? The other thing that I don't know if you've discussed this today so far is there a sense that there's too many fixtures already? Is there a sense going into this season that that injuries will decide this season again? Who can stay fittest throughout the year? Ultimately, when the squads are essentially Formula One teams with everybody competing with the same level of elite level athletes, who can stay the fittest the longest? Who can recover the quickest? That ultimately
Definitely a factor. No question. I mean, you know, with Liverpool yourself, when you lost Van Dijk, All right, exactly. You finished third, but it basically wrecked the season. And so that's all you need. And it's the same with any of the big players, Kane or anybody like
that.
Yeah, sure.
There are certain key players, and if you lose them as a team, I think the kind of house of cards falls down. I mean, they've got the five subs now, and but, you know, that does play into the hands of the bigger teams, of course, doesn't it? You can have the deeper squads and have more quality in those squads.
I'm also turning 42 this month myself, right. And I'm much more conscious of being a bit creaky going down the stairs. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, God, yeah, not much.
Well, I do.
Yeah, yeah. It takes me about 3 days to recover from a run. You've been kept up the running. You mentioned before your Sonia O'Sullivan podcast as well, where you knocked lots of incredible minutes off your times. From it was all like a couch to 5K and beyond from your point of view, isn't it?
Yeah, it was couch to 5K initially, and then it was, well, let's see if we can get that 5K under 20 minutes, which seems like a good watermark for people in their park run. And she did it. I mean, I give her the credit because I'd no business doing this, but she somehow gets this response from her athletes. Part of it is that in Ireland, Sonia O'Sullivan is considered kind of royalty, athletic royalty. She's certainly the greatest track and field athlete we've ever produced. So the knowledge that she's checking on your Strava, did you do the training? It's enough to make anybody do it. But at the moment, we're training 100 of our listeners to go to the Antrim Coast Half Marathon because I wanted them to have the experience that I had. And you wouldn't believe the impact that training has had on this group or this squad that she's created. So we're going to get there with our singlets and be there on the 28th of August for the Antrim Coast Half Marathon. Really excited about that. Something I never would have thought I'd do. When I turned 40, couldn't run around the block, boys. Wow. She started coaching me on my birthday, and here we are looking to try and do this thing in under 2 hours. It's going to be great anyway.
That's amazing.
When you pick a personal trainer, you really pick a personal trainer, don't you? You don't mess about. It's just that's the way to do it. Invent a podcast.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, good to talk to you, Jonath. And so you're back over later this month. Is that right, in London?
Yeah, I'll be back over on August 16th if people want to come down to that show at the Top Secret Comedy Club. Myself and Carl Hutchinson and a couple of other acts on. It's actually on at 6 p.m. in the evening, so perfect after work gig. Yeah. Pop down. I want to give a shout out as well to all the acts heading up to the Edinburgh Festival. I'm delighted I'm not doing it, to be totally honest. Having a bit of a holiday running around Ireland. But thoughts and prayers with all those comedians up there right now.
Yeah. Edinburgh was good for you though, wasn't it, when you were starting?
It really was. Yeah. I loved it. But I mean, it's a young man's game. I do think that you wouldn't be able to do it now.
Good to talk to you, Jonath. Thanks very much.
Great chat, boys. Thanks so much.
Jonath Regan there, the comedian, Liverpool fan here. Come and check him out in London, Top Secret Comedy Club, 16th of August. And all of his fine podcasts are available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Mikel Arteta have been getting a bit of heat today. If you've listened to Gabby Agbonlahor on Breakfast, you'll know that. He wasn't quite into the idea of pumping. You'll never walk alone to the training ground ahead of the Liverpool game, which they go on to lose 4-0. But even Mikel Arteta had said to one of his coaches, I've had one of my mad ideas. Sometimes people in management have mad ideas. You've been telling us your stories. Our new cricket captain entered the dressing room pre-match with a drawing of where each player would field for the entire 46 overs. He was gone as skipper after two more games. Our Sunday team, who was that one from? So I should give you the credit. That was from Wilco. Thank you, Wilco. Rob's been in touch. Our Sunday team manager insisted on the team wearing our unwashed socks in every round of the cup due to them being deemed lucky after our first round victory. They smelled so bad by the semi-final, our centre forward had his head down the loo while the rest of us kicked off.
For God's sake.
A dark story that is. Thank you, Rob. And your dad getting involved again, Arsenal-based, Aaron Ramsdale admitting that his dad doesn't like him playing it out from the back. And he said, well, you better take that with the manager. He said, well, don't worry, I will. Then he remembered, of course, he's got the manager's number, his dad, from when the negotiation was done to take him to Arsenal. So he said he's had to put him off of putting the call in. Sometimes your folks do get involved. My granddad travelled all over watching me play schoolboy football. On one occasion, I was brought down in the penalty area and ref gave a free kick. My granddad was furious, ran onto the pitch, told him it was in the area, says Mark in Burnley. You get a bit wrapped up in things like that.
That's not
Lee Camp's dad rang Radio Derby phone in once, complaining about Lee not being picked for the first 11. Every time he returned to Pride Park when playing for other teams, he got a round of Daddy's Boy, says Mel. Don't remember, NASA's dad used to phone. He phoned the station,
yeah,
didn't he? Phone.
Well, it's
dad, yeah, he used to phone us now.
My wife, I remember my son wanted to go to Chelsea School of Art, and he didn't get in.
Mm.
And so she went there, and she browbeat him into seeing him again.
Wow.
And actually meeting him, and he got in the end.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and it kind of made his career, really.
Good parenting.
Well, you know, it's that type of parenting.
Belief in your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good thing.
I'm not saying it did there.
It could have backfired, but it didn't.
It can. She could have been arrested, but that can spill over, of course. So, yeah, keep telling us your stories. Talksport.com, text 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ.
I'm waiting for it to come here and berate the management.
That may not have the same effect.
No, it wouldn't at all.
Anything else?
Talking of money, Tiger turned down $655 million. Did you see that? Join Liv. I think, what a great blow. That's so fantastic. Because, I mean, even though he's got an absolute fortune, of course he hasn't even spend what he's got. But still, no matter how much money you've got, $655 million.
And he'd be the perfect target, because with respect to Tiger, that, you know, I mean, that ship post-injuries, we've seen how much he's struggling. He's unlikely, well, who knows, how can you write this man off at your peril, but he's unlikely to get Jack's record, is he? He's unlikely to win another major. And so you think to yourself, he could have taken the money, but no, he didn't fancy it. He's better than that.
They always say football's a game of opinions, and Holt and Dave.
Who says that?
Everybody.
Okay. I disagree.
It's true.
03717.
This bloke, Holt and Dave, wrote to the Star. He said, as a neutral fan who watched the Community Shield on Saturday, that scoreline really flattered Liverpool. City were by far the better team. I mean, who looked at that game and went, City were by far the... They certainly weren't by far the better team. They weren't. Liverpool deserved to win. They were looking much sharper and much more ready for the season. All the commentators were saying that. I don't know, when you're watching that, I don't know how you see it in that way, but obviously he did. Mm. So
I don't know if you saw our old friend Alan Fletcher, Dr. Carl from Neighbours, was saying, now he's finished Neighbours, he thinks he's amassed that much medical knowledge, he may actually go into medicine.
I think
he was joking, of course.
Yeah, he was, of course.
But that's what we thought, that your missus could do that.
Yes.
She watches all the medical dramas and all the medical documentaries.
Yeah,
so that's probably going to get her for her first year.
Well, I think it's a good idea, really.
Got every chance.
And this person, Poppy M, wrote to the Star about the Lionesses. She said, I wonder how long it'll be before some of the Lionesses blot their copybooks by doing TV adverts and reality. I mean, that's not blotting their copybooks, is it? That's just capitalising on their brilliant effort. Honestly, the way people look at stuff, it's quite amazing.
And are you happy with your eyebrows? You happy with your eyebrows?
They're not particularly, actually.
No.
They've gone a bit mad as you get older. That's
they
what
go, they get big, long, grey, wispy
they
hairs.
They start coming off at mad angles.
They do. Thinking,
that's
right.
That happened?
Well, I do
a lot of plucking.
Okay. For those listening in medium wave.
Exactly.
But I just wondered, if you've got $7,000 spare, you can get the Cara Delevingne eyebrows. And I think that would, you'd look good
really
with
it. Like that.
I think that would really work.
Beautiful. It's called the caterpillar look, isn't
beautifully
it?
Shaped and very dark. That would look very good. They basically having their hair follicles removed from the back of their head. That's robbing Peter to pay Paul from your point of view. It's not a great idea, is it?
Definitely not.
So that's not going to happen. But anyway, just if you've got $7,000 spare, get a couple of the Cara Delevingnes.
How many letters have you seen in articles about... this is a typical one from Dawn Neeson today. So football finally came home, and after 56 years of waiting for blokes to do something, women went and did what we always do. We did it ourselves.
Yeah.
Give it a rest.
Yes.
Honestly, drives you potty, all that stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mad managerial decisions. Albert and Carl Shorten says, a few years back we were playing our Sunday League Cup final. Despite being battered for most of the game, we somehow found ourselves 3-0 up with 5 minutes to go. At this point, our manager decided to make three substitutions, replacing three of our heroic back four with three admittedly loyal but ultimately useless squad players who couldn't run a bath or trap a bag of cement, just so they'd qualify for a medal. The inevitable happened, and I stood in goal as the opposition ripped past the three statues and scored four goals.
Oh, no.
I'm sure they voted for our manager as manager of the year at the end of the season. Still bitter, Albert. You can
I
hear
don't
it
blame
in the
it.
Tone of the email. Yeah,
you can't do that. You've got to, not until it's clinched.
My mates under 11's rugby league team were the only team in their league who came out to us walk-on song. Oh, at that level. So like kids running out or even Sunday players running out to a song. Does that happen? Is that a thing in Sunday League Saturday afternoon football?
Gosh, wouldn't it really?
Is there a song that they would play over a PA or that the team
they
ran
have
out
a
to?
PA, you just do it on the phone.
You'd want to beat them, wouldn't you? On that basis, well,
nonsense, really.
Yeah, awkward on two levels. Jack quite rightly says: one, they lost every game that season. Two, the song was simply the best by Tina Turner. So this has led us down another road. If you have played for a team or played against a team that have run out to a song in the professional mould, because I didn't know that even.
You're asking for it playing simply the best.
You certainly are. Do let us know what was the song chosen and did it work and in what circumstances. TalkSport.com, text 81089. Tweet TSH and J on top of mad managerial decisions. And also, as we said, your parents getting involved. Get in touch this afternoon. We'll have some clips of the month for you later on as well to vote on. But for now, Andy, what do you have?
I've got a letter from Chris Turow to The Sun. He says, Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola and all the other men's team managers, take note. Good, clean football wins matches, not petulance. You think, what, Jurgen Klopp? I think they know how to win matches.
Yeah, I think
these people are brilliant, aren't they?
They should, take note. Well said, mate.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Clips of the month time for July. The way it works is this: we're going to play you six clips, and then we're going to have two semi-finals. It's at TSH&J on Twitter. At TSH&J, and you can go and vote for your favourites. Then we'll whittle them down in around 20 minutes' time to a final two. You vote for the final two, and we'll play you the winner just before we hand over to Andy Goldstein and Darren Bent at four with Drive. So, say our production team have picked their favourite six this month, and we kick off with a caller to Drive who'd witnessed an iconic sporting event.
Andrew, did you Google that before you came on, or you remembered it all?
No, I was there.
Oh,
you,
wow.
Were actually there at the World Cup in 82?
Yes, I was actually at the final.
How'd that happen?
I booked tickets.
Well, here we are. It's often the best way to get there, isn't it? Really?
Well, everybody takes the corporate trough. This is newsreader Cara Bentley, and sometimes people do get a bit caught up in their own industry.
Bernie Eccleston has been asked if he stands by comments he made yesterday, in which he said he would take a bulletin for Vladimir Putin.
Can't see Bernie reading the news at TalkSport. I think he's got the voice for it, really. Here's Alan Brazil discussing the new regime at Manchester United.
Eric Ten Hag has imposed a booze ban.
I think we might need to impose a booze ban, don't we, really?
I guarantee that's in the final.
Yeah.
Here's cricket commentator Neil Manthorpe at Ireland versus India. We never realised our old mate John Norman was so popular.
And to take you through the first five overs, he'll be with Cath Dalton and John Norman.
Big fan base.
Yes.
Big fan base over there. They love John Norman. This is Sam Matterface introducing a top boxing guest.
He wants to fight Alexander Usyk or Anthony Joshua or Tyson Fury. Let's ask him who he would like to fight the most. Joe Joyce joins us live on TalkSport 9. Hi, Joyce. Joe?
I'm not calling him Joyce. He's a big unit, isn't he? I'm not calling him Joyce. And finally, Andy.
Yes, and finally, we turn to overnights and Stuart Armour giving a shout-out to a listener.
Well, playing against Jake and George today, we have Jordan, the Spurs fan. He is an avocado driver.
Nice. How'd you go about that?
Well, he might deliver
avocados.
They
can't be easy.
It's probably a cardo, but I mean, you never know. He might deliver
before
avocados.
They, it could be, yeah. Before they get ripe, they, I mean, you know, you could attach a set of wheels to one of those, no problem. So what did you like best? What was your favourite clip of the month? Was it the call at a drive at the 82 World Cup final? Was it Cara Bentley taking a bullet in for Putin? Was it Alan Brazil impooging a booge ban? Was it a big cheer for John Norman? Was it Sam Matterface calling a big boxer Joyce? Or was it an avocado driver on overnight? It's pretty straightforward. Go along to at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. Very shortly, we'll have the two semi-finals for you to vote for your favourite. And then we'll have the final, as we said, and we'll bring you the winner of that. We'll keep you updated, but we'll bring you the winner of that just before 4 o'clock when Andy and Darren take over.
That does sound good, doesn't it?
So, anything else, Andy?
Well, Leah Williamson, of course, who did so brilliantly for the Lionesses.
Yeah.
She was only 9 when she joined Arsenal. Mm. And speaking about that was former Gunners ladies boss Vic Akers.
Yeah, Akers. Vic Akers, yeah.
Most of them Vic Akers. Yeah. No, I used to, that's what we, I used to train me. I've been trained by Vic Akers.
Akers or Akers?
Akers or Akers.
Stop it, Akers.
I'd say Akers, but okay. He's probably Akers. Anyway, Vic. Let's call him Vic.
Let's just call him Vic for sure.
Call him Vic.
The great Akers debate. He's always been Vic Akers, hasn't he? He's been on with us loads of times, yeah. In the past.
Does he get paid in Akers?
Anyway, let's stop. How much land has he got? Let's just not even bother. So what?
Yeah. No, the thing was that he used to run these sessions for...
Who did? No, don't start
Vic.
That again.
Oh, yeah. Vic. And they were in Islington. Hmm. And he used to go along there. And
you used to go training with Vic?
Yeah. He was the trainer of this team.
How long did you go for?
Well, actually, I only did it a couple of... So the session that I did with it was the last session because I threw up. It was too much.
Worked you too hard,
well,
did he?
It was, really. Yeah.
He probably worked you hard because you couldn't pronounce his surname.
You're on the Cobden, he'd say. That was his catchphrase.
Okay. What does that mean?
It was a sort of like the Ashfelt.
Oh, okay.
Little sort of cage bit. He'd say, you're on the Cobden, you're in somewhere else, and you're there. I was always on the Cobden throwing up.
It's anyway. A bit like the ball pit at IKEA. Well, once Andy got on the Cobden, you couldn't use it for the rest of the day until someone turned up with a hose.
Yeah. He was a very good bloke, as it goes. That's so there we go. He became the kit man, didn't he, for Arsenal?
Yeah, he was a kit man for years, didn't he? Yeah, absolutely.
So that's good.
Yes. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you about a special guest on Breakfast tomorrow morning with Alan Brazil, Gabby Agbonlahor, Ray Parler. Alessia Russo is going to be on the show in the studio.
Oh, great.
I'm sure she'll bring the medal in. She's carrying it wherever she goes these days, quite rightly. So you'll hear Alessia Russo on the show tomorrow. Manchester United and England with
that goal.
With
honestly,
the
they keep showing it's fantastic. It doesn't matter how many times they show it from how many different angles. It really is a brilliant
piece
great
of goals. The touch for in the earlier game against Norway, the touch in the turn was a great goal, and then obviously was that against Norway? Then the back heel, wasn't it?
It was the back heel, but I think it's all context. I mean, Norway was 8-0, wasn't it? Yeah. This was such an important goal. So, Lager fans have
Lager fans.
Lager fans. I don't know who they are.
Carl Lager fans
apparently have blasted a new beer. Aimed at lighter drinking Generation Z Brits. Mm. It's 4% as opposed to 5%. And
a lot of good lagers are 4%.
I know, but everything these days is like this. But plumber Paul Rogers, 33, said, this is just woke madness.
Okay.
I mean, how can you find culture wars in beer?
Yeah.
Surely, well, producing enough, a beer that's 4% versus 5% surely isn't a woke thing to do, is it? I don't get this. And but there you go, that's the way it is. One bloke says he fears for the future of beer.
I don't worry about it.
I wouldn't if I was you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. We've been sport this week for England cricketers. We had a chat with Stuart Broad yesterday, although predominantly about Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
But we squeezed a bit of cricket in. And we're delighted to say now we're joined by the England Test captain, Ben Stokes. Good afternoon, Ben.
Good Good afternoon. How are we?
Yes, good, we're good. Thank you. Yeah, good to talk to you again. You've got some live shows coming up, haven't you? You're taking to the stage.
Yes, we are. You know, we. I mean, this whole thing sort of just stemmed back to the lockdown period where me and a couple of mates just sort of thought we'd give a try at something a bit different to what our normal day jobs are. Started up a business, and yeah, now we look where we are, and things are going really well. And you know, with these live events we've got coming up, it's a bit different to what we used to, even though it's in front of people, but it's a little bit outside of my comfort zone. But no, I'm really looking forward to it. We've got shows in Newcastle with Sir Ian Botham and Mark Wood as our guests, and that's hosted by Josh Denzel. So yeah, really looking forward to it. And it's just a good thing to concentrate on when you've got a bit of time off away from cricket and sort of take your mind off the day job, I suppose.
It's with Stuart and with Jofra Archer as well, is it? You've set this up?
Yes, it was. You know, it's with some good, you know, childhood friends of mine, Mike Turns, Rory Bell and Fergus Bell, sort of. We took it to Stuart and Jofra, and they absolutely loved the idea about a sort of athlete-led, you know, like media organisation where sort of we get to pick and choose as to who sort of we want to work with and the kind of stuff that we want to do. You know, as a, I wouldn't say a hobby, but just as you know, like just to fill the gaps of time that we have in between touring or games and stuff like that. But no, it's been really good. You know, we've got some other big names in the sporting world on board, like some, you know, Tyrone Mings, Jack Noel, Jason Roy, and people in the sort of entertainment, you know, business like Chris Hughes, Josh Denzel. So you know, it's started nicely, and yeah, we're really enjoying our time doing that.
You say it's outside your comfort zone, but we're being the England test captain, you know. That means it's going to become, it's, you know, you have to be front and centre, don't you? You're going to be interviewed a whole lot more. So it's something you'll get used to.
I would say the interviews, everything like that, I'm absolutely fine with. It's more the going on stage and sitting in a chair and talking in front of a few hundred or a couple thousand people. You know, I'm used to playing in front of big crowds, but that's me in my comfort zone playing cricket, whereas sitting on stage talking, trying not to swear every fourth word like I normally do. Yeah, it's something new for me, but you know, I'm really looking forward to getting started with it all.
You mentioned the lockdown. One thing you did do, which I loved, was the watch along with Nasser and Rob Key when you looked at the Headingley test. That was really fun then.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we're going to be sort of, you know, talking about in these live events is almost reminiscing and looking back on, you know, I don't know, sort of major events in people's career or in people's lives. And that's great where we've, you know, we've got multiple guests to come on and talk about that because these people, you know, are very interested in what they do. And I'm sure people want to hear about it. And, you know, looking back to that watch along, you know, it was great to look back on that, even though I was part of it and I was out in there. It was actually good to sit on my sofa and watch it back almost as a fan and talk the people through sort of what I was thinking or where I thought the game was, which is something that we're sort of looking to do in a live capacity with our events.
Yeah, it's good insight that. Let me just clear my throat a second. Excuse me. It's been an amazing turnaround in the test team, though. You must be delighted with that. And obviously it coincides with your captaincy.
Yeah, look, it's been an amazing start. You know, we played some great cricket over these four test matches. We've got a big three games coming up here against South Africa. And if anything, I feel they're more important than these first four games because, you know, those four games were so close together and they just sort of, you just rolled into the next game with the same, you know, energy and confidence. You know, now we've obviously had quite a big break in between the India test match and the South Africa games. It's really important that we almost take a step back and go back to how we finished off that block of test matches and continue that mindset, the attitude and everything that we brought. And honestly, one of my main things and one of my major points to the team was let's just go out there and have as much fun as we possibly can and as 11 out on the field. Because you're playing for England, you represent your country, you're playing in front of thousands of live audience plus the people on TV. You know, if you can't enjoy this moment, whatever's going on, you know, just take a step back and just enjoy it for what it is. And then the results will look after itself because, you know, if we play good cricket, we're going to win. If we don't play good cricket, we're going to lose. It's as simple as that, but let's just enjoy it.
Stuart was telling us yesterday, Ben, that the positivity in the dressing room that you and Brendan McCullum have instilled, he said, is very noticeable. And the mindset of the players when they go out to play currently for the test side. And he's been really taken by that. And I mean, he was sort of saying to us, he still got some quiet. Did you kind of sit down one day, you and Brendan McCullum, and say, OK, let's have a blueprint? Or did it just come out of your conversations? Or did you both come to it saying, this is what we both want to do, so your ideas matched?
No, I wouldn't say me and Brendan are people who get out a pen and paper and write down everything that goes on. We just sort of speak from the heart and, you know, go with, you know, sort of what your heart tells you. But I guess me and Brendan, we want to really install a winning mentality into everybody who comes and represents England. And that's whatever situation we find ourselves in, how can we do something that's going to help us win a test match? Whether that be, you know, bowling a team out in 40 overs on day five, or whether that be chasing 350 and 60 overs, you know, it's all about winning. Because for me personally, at this moment in time, I would much rather lose a test match trying to win the game than go the other way, if that makes sense. Because if you're trying to always win the game, you're installing that positivity and that mentality for everyone to try and be winners every time they step out there and try and take the positive step towards the game. And if you lose trying to do that, that's absolutely fine, because you're trying to be positive. And, you know, sport is yes, it is about winning, but it's also about the style in which you want to be remembered of how you play. And I think what we've managed to do over these four games is almost just send the message to other teams who are going to play us, is that this is how they're going to play the cricket. They're going to have to think a hell of a lot more about their tactical decision making over the 5 days, because you know, we've chased four totals now of you know very high totals, and one at Trent Bridge, very, you know, an unbelievable chase set up by Johnny Bairstow. So yeah, I think teams are sort of know what we're going to come up with, and it almost puts the ball in their court to make a decision about what they're going to do, especially if we're going to be chasing a total in the fourth innings.
Another one of Brendan's philosophies is to give players a decent go before writing them off, and something us in the media don't do, me particular, but it's true. But it's got to be good, that, because a player will go with confidence, won't they? If a player's thinking, if I don't make runs here, I'm out, or if I don't get a wicket, I'm out, you know, so it's probably a good philosophy, that.
Oh, honestly, I'm of the opinion that you give people time to perform, not put them under pressure to perform in a short amount of time to keep the place. You know, when we got back to the start of the summer and we picked the squad before the first test match was played, you know, we picked those players because we all thought they were the best players in the given positions. And, you know, we've got a summer of, you know, for 7 test matches in total, and 7 test matches is, you know, an opportunity for people to go out and perform. You know, if you're looking at, you know, maybe looking in another direction after 2 or 3 games, you know, what kind of message does that send to the next person who comes in for an opportunity? Straight away, that's putting pressure on that person to feel like they've got to go out and score runs, or someone else is going to get a look at. But I'm all about giving players time to perform, time to adapt to the new way of playing, because it is so different to what we've been used to. So you've got to allow them time to have the confidence and believe that they can go out and perform, but also perform in the way that me and Brendan want the team to play.
There's been a lot of talk as well, Ben, about the fact that at the moment it is going fantastically well, and we are chasing down these mad totals. It's fantastic to watch. It's very entertaining. But there will, you know, be days when it doesn't work, and we don't chase down the runs, and we're out cheaply, and we're quite gung-ho. I mean, I'm sure you and Brendan and the team are kind of prepared for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll take you back to Lords when we bowled out New Zealand cheaply on day one, and then we got bowled out cheaply in our second innings. And Brendan's first comment after that was, well, we said we were going to be entertaining, didn't we? So we've certainly done that. You know, so it's trying to turn those negative plays of cricket into a positive. And he's got an amazing way of being able to do that. And then another example was Headingley when we were 55-6. You know, people were wondering what we're going to do, and me and Brendan both said go out and put the pressure straight back onto them in this situation, because it can't get any worse. So, you know, and then Jamie and Johnny went out and played an unbelievable counter-attacking partnership, and we ended up getting a lead from 55-6, and that's purely because of the confidence that the lads get and are able to go out there with the bat in any situation. You know, it's all good and well going out and trying to whack it when you're 300-2, but, you know, can you do it 55-6? And we gave the lower order an opportunity to go out and do that. And you've seen how quickly the game turned around. You know, it's all about putting pressure back onto the team as much as you possibly can, but also understanding when you maybe need to soak up that pressure, but you're still doing it in a positive way.
And also, I think you've had great support from Joe Root. It can't have been easy losing the captaincy or giving up the captaincy, whichever way you want to put it, you know, and still performing on the field, but also noticeably right behind you.
Oh, you know what? When I took the job, he was the first person I called to say that I'm taking the captaincy on, and I also had a quick chat with him about you know, the way that I want to lead the team forward. Obviously overtaking from him, and I guess it shows the respect and the relationship that me and Joe have outside of cricket. You know, we're more than just colleagues. You know, I explained to him that all of my philosophies that are sort of, you know, the complete opposite of the spectrum to what you had is not a sign that I didn't believe in what you wanted to do. Because whatever he did, I'd run through a brick wall for Joe. But to have a guy captain the England side for such a long period of time to buy into this new way of cricket is unbelievable. And it's a testament to himself as a person, let alone the player. We all know how good of a player Joe Root is. And to be honest, I didn't think a player of Joe could raise the ceiling or the standard of his batting any higher than he already has. But like, he's gone to another level in Test Match cricket now. It's unbelievable seeing the way that he's played. And he's got to take a lot of credit for going out and being brave enough to play in that way, considering he is and has been the rock of the English batting side for 5-6 years now. Because we know if Rooty does well, the team generally does well. But he's been brave enough to go out and play in the way that he's done. So, yeah, it's unbelievable.
You'll be aware of the fact that the way you guys are playing at the moment is being called Bazball. I mean, what do you make of that? What does the team, what does Baz make of it himself? Does he like, is he quite chuffed?
No, he does not like it. I don't know where it's came from. I don't know who came up with that analogy, to be honest. But no, it's Bazball. It sounds like a knockoff version of baseball, doesn't it?
Like, I think that's the idea.
Yeah, but I think it was refreshing having someone like Brendan come in. You know, he's not too long off finishing playing cricket himself, and he's just such a relatable guy. He's so relaxed, laid back. He's always trying to push people in the right direction, and people just follow him. People listen to him, which sometimes is a very hard thing to do as a coach, is to get, you know, not just the 11 guys out there who are playing, but also the whole squad to really buy into what you're doing. And he's managed to do it. But Bazball, I'm not sure we would try and sign off on any copyright for that name.
Johnny Bairstow's decided to not play the 100. He wants a bit of a break physically and mentally, I think, before South Africa. It was something you were going to do before you stepped away from white ball cricket. I mean, the boys are going to make decisions based on their own feelings, their own fitness, the way they're feeling at the moment. What did you make of that?
Well, I've only stepped away from the 50-over format, bearing in mind, so playing T20.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. But look, I think you think of all the talk over the last couple of years about Test cricket's dying, it's losing out to white ball cricket and franchise tournaments. You know, there's people prioritising Test cricket now. You know, Johnny has chosen to take the 100 period as the time to have a break and a rest and just sort of, I don't know, get his energy back. And that's all because he knows that there's a Test cricket series around the corner. So the people who are saying that Test cricket's dying out, I don't think that's right, because you're looking at players now who are prioritising, their schedule around Test matches. Ollie Robinson's another. He stepped away from the 100 as well to concentrate on his workloads, get his fitness up and bowl longer spells, because obviously you're not able to do that on the 100. So you're seeing guys now come in and really look at the schedule and go, what do I need to do to make sure that I'm fit and firing to go for the Test matches when they come around? So I couldn't be happier as Test captain, and I also couldn't be happier as a huge Test also almost ambassador, because it's the best format of the game. It's the pinnacle of cricket. you know, Test cricket will never die, and I hope it doesn't.
No, I think so all of us, definitely. Now, when we spoke to Stuart yesterday, finally, I mean, I don't know if you're going to be doing a Q&A as part of your evenings around the country, but we did try and pinpoint areas that the questioners might want to avoid for you, Ben. This is what Stuart had to say.
He tries to claim he's like a Tottenham Hotspur fan, but when the big derby was on last year against Arsenal, we were like, oh, what's the score, Stokes? He's like, oh, what's going on? So I think there's a few question marks over that, so don't question him too much on his football.
Is that a fair point, Ben?
I mean, look, you know, my two favourite Tottenham players are Gareth Bale and Kieran Trippier. So, that's a joke, by the way. I know they're no longer. Look, I'm not massively into my football in terms of supporting a team. Mm. I love the sport. I love watching it. But if I had to choose a team to support, it would be Tottenham. And I've actually got a valid reason. Because when we moved over from New Zealand to England, the first Premier League football shirt I ever got bought for myself was the Tottenham Hotspur kit from Carlisle Market. I don't know if you remember back in the day, it was a sort of blue and yellow one. And I think it might have had like the Thomas Cook sponsorship.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm a Tottenham fan. I remember that one. Yeah, probably got one at home somewhere.
Yeah. And that was the first ever kit, the football top I ever owned. And they also sent me and my kids some tops with our names and my number on the back. So, yeah, there's a little soft spot there for Tottenham. And unfortunately, we don't have that many good teams in the North East to support. So,
how many Tottenham shirts are they selling in Carlisle Market? I wouldn't have thought there'd been a... Was it the only one there?
Yeah. So, you know, I reckon it must have been the shirt that fell off the back of the lorry.
Probably, yeah. Good stuff. Anyway, the live shows, Bridgewater Hall in Manchester, Saturday the 17th of September. Well, tickets are on sale. People can go and check that out. And also, there's a charity angle to this. You're going to be supporting the Walk and Talk Trust, aren't you? Tell us a little bit more about that finally, Ben.
Yeah, I think it's always important for, you know, and to be honest, in the business, we're very understanding of, you know, the good that charities do for the public and people who need the help. And being in a fortunate situation that we find ourselves in, I find it very comforting, but almost a responsibility to help people out. And, you know, supporting charities is something that we will try and look to do with all of our stuff. Because, you know, there's always someone who needs help in life. And if you can, I don't know, sort of give your time and, you know, help change, if it's just one person's, I don't know, life or something like that, then I feel as if you're doing a good thing for the world, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, good to talk to you. Best of luck again, South Africa. Continued success. Keep exciting us. We're enjoying it at the moment, certainly. So, and good luck with the live shows. All the best, Ben.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. Ben Stokes there, the England skipper. If you go along to Forecast MG, that's number forecast, mg.co.uk, all the details are there of the live shows and the work they're doing, a bit of background into the company as well. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're going to bring you the winner of the Clips of the Month.
Oh, good.
Thank you to everybody who voted. A great many of you did. And we have a winner. I think it's a pretty clear winner. Ultimately, it came down to Alan Brazil in Pooging a Booj Ban. Sam Matterface calling Joe Joyce Joyce. And, it's the big man. He's back. This was him.
Of course he is.
This was him talking Manchester United on breakfast.
Erik ten Hag has imposed a booze ban.
Erik ten Hag had impooged a booj ban. You can't get better than that. Much as breakfast will be impooging a booj ban, I think. When Ray Parler is alongside Alan Brazil tomorrow, with Gabby Agbon-Lahore, and Alessia Russo's coming in.
Yeah, great.
One of the stars of the women's Euro team. Manchester United and England will be with the guys tomorrow morning live in the studio.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Charlie Baker alongside me, although you'll be back for the birthday spread, Andy, won't you?
I call him Charlie Backer.
I bet you do. Charlie Backer. So do hope you can join us. If not, the podcast will be available as always around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.